Today's message is specifically about the Word. I was thinking about all of us, and the reason I asked what you had been reading recently is because I'm very aware of the fact that we're all going through a lot of challenges, right? I mean, no matter, some of us are running good, or running good. Some of us are not running so good. What's happening is there may be 1,000 different angles coming at us at one time. We got all these different challenges on high and low levels. And the question I say, to you guys, as a more of a paraphrase rather, is what are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? And the thing that equips us and strengthens us and builds us and keeps us true is staying in that Word. And we think that we all have, this massive faith, and I know that many of us do, and we live that faith, but I don't care how long you've been in the game. I don't care if you've been preaching for 30 years. If you're not staying in that Word daily, you're not being refilled, right? And ultimately, even Marvin was talking about earlier, just being in the midst of those challenges, we've come to learn more about ourselves. And it opens new doors and allows us to think. But the question is, where's our direction really coming from? How can we stay grounded all the time? And that's just the thing. I just want to talk about the Word today, specifically the Word and the importance of being in the Word. Why? Because who of us at this meeting today wants to see a change in our lives? Right? Who of us in this meeting want to make a difference in our lives, a difference in others' lives? Amen? Who wants to gain consistency in their life where they can then become dependable or be depended on? Amen? Where does that come from? It comes from the Word. It comes from our faith. So what happens is, if we get away because the busy world and all the challenges that we're facing come after us, and I got to tell you guys, like, before I even get started, how much I've been challenged over the last couple weeks. I've been challenged to the point where it made me question, what is it that I'm really doing? What is it that I'm really doing? What am I doing about it? So many pressures. I have a job opportunity in Florida that won't leave me alone. And I just said, no, I'm not going to take that opportunity. I'm grounded here, in everything that I've done on top of all these other scenarios that I have in play. What I realized was, I had bitten off so much that I couldn't chew, that it was forcing me to spend all of my time in business and work and business and work and business and work. I started back there and said, "Hey, what about reading? When did you get refilled? Right? How long have I been? I've been preaching at this meeting for 4 or 5 years now, right? And I myself am guilty of not reading enough. So when I ask, what's the last verse we read? I just want to know how many of us are in that scripture getting that fed. Because I can tell you right now, just as assuredly as if we all stop eating food and water, what happens to our physical body? If we stop tonight, we're no more food, no more water, no more pop, no more candy, no more, no nothing. What's going to happen to our physical man? But we understand that, right? We understand that, right? We understand, it's like, man, I'm hungry. I need to get something to eat right now. But see, many of us spiritually are starving right now. We're starving. We could eat 3 triple Big Macs of the Word right now because we're not getting it in. And it doesn't matter how much I know if I'm not exercising that Word. And this is what I want to get into. First Peter says, "For all flesh is like grass. Its glory is like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God abides forever." The Word of God abides forever. So what are the things that we're putting all our energy to right now? Me, specifically, 89% of all my energy and lack of sleep has been gone to business over the last probably, 2 years. It's killing me. It's killing me. It's literally wearing me down. Being honest with you guys. If I'm not honest, what's the point of meeting, right? So I need to isolate these challenges, the challenges that you've gone through. Do you know why that's a good thing? Because today you were challenged beyond the last probably 6-8 months of your life. And you stayed on ground, and you came to Bible study. Thank God to encouragements of your friends. What'd you do? You didn't go to the club. You didn't throw your hands up. You didn't quit. You didn't throw a fit. Right? You came to Bible study. So you already know what you're doing because you're in the Word. Amen? That's how it protects us. It's how it keeps us. And those of us that have fallen short and spoke about falling short, and Marvin saying, hey, sometimes we become discontent, and that discontent grows in our lives. It causes us to make bad decisions. But Donnie then reaffirms the fact that those are our guys, are our brothers, and we love them. I don't care that they relapse. It's the best thing that ever happened, or the worst thing that ever happened. But those of us that have been in the game long enough know that we need to get there and latch onto them and let them know that it needs to be the best thing that ever happened because it showed them a weakness. And if it exploited a weakness, then there's the area we need to focus. Amen? We got to shut that down and get those brothers back on the right side and start over again. So then 6 months, 6 years now, they go, well, I fell short one day. I was in the halfway house. There was a lot of commotion. I fell victim and fell weak. But I've used that mistake to stay strong today. Amen? Yeah. Right? You don't write them off. They're the same people they always were. Still love them to death. Want to go get them right now. Amen? Of no less value. In fact, of more value. Jesus said, I got 99 sheep. I got one. I'm going to get it. Amen. He went back and got the sheep. He brought him home. He's important. Every one of us is part of this family, the spiritual family. And when you're not afraid to stand up and do that, that's the way it needs to be in love. Amen. That's why it's so important to stay on that word, because if I'm not in that word, I'm not keeping up my guard. And if I'm just too busy today to get to it, God knows I'm busy, right? He does. He knows. But if I'm not feeding my spirit, man, what's happening to him? Amen. If I stop eating physical food and physical drinks, what happens to me? If I stop eating physical food or spiritual food, what happens to me? It's that simple. And that's the way we got to start thinking about it. That's how important that word is. He said, all flesh is like grass. We've seen it this year. What happened to the grass? It faded. And now it's renewed. It's coming for spring. I know we're hungry for spring. But he said, the flesh is just like that grass. We're only here for that one moment. And we have this possibility to have something so special come into our lives and become a part of us and allow us to live forever. Amen? So am I going to clasp onto this thing that's going to wither? Or am I going to grasp onto the thing that lasts forever? Right? It's really not that complicated. I have to think about this. The Bible is the Word of God. John 17, sanctify them in truth. Thy Word is truth. Proverbs 30, every word of God is tested. This is not opinions. It's for safeguard. It's for refuge. The words in the Scripture have been tested and hold true to this day. Now, I love statistics. I don't have any for you today, but I could burn up some statistics on things that lined up over and over and over and over with this Word of God. I mean, finding the Hittites, you know, looking at all different times. I actually have a widow's mite. That, you remember the widow's mite? When the widow gave all he had and all the rich people gave all they had, and she said she gave more than them because she gave all she had. I have one of those mites, an actual mite. And it's just interesting to think about Jesus speaking to the people and having a piece of that, knowing that this is his word. Who was talking about John earlier? Somebody said out in John. Was that you, Doug? Okay. First John said in the beginning was the word, and the word became flesh and came and dwelt among the man. He said Jesus was a man, right? But Jesus was the word. So how can I get closer to Jesus? I need to understand his word. I need to learn his word. I need to memorize his scriptures. I don't want his scriptures in my heart so that when I'm out and about in the world, I can be safe from all that negativity, that craziness. The more I know about the scripture, the more I apply this to my life, the closer I am to Christ, the more it grows my faith. Amen? Amen. So, forever, O Lord, the word stands firm in heaven, cannot be discounted. 2 Corinthians 13, for we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. The word is then indestructible. Psalm 19, it is perfect, and if I keep it, it restores me to its perfection. Verse 10, it makes it sweeter than honey and more desirable than gold. And here's where I like to slow down and think for a minute. He said, the word is perfect. The word is perfect, right? I know that I'm not perfect, amen? Right? Anybody aware of that? Like, well, not me, stop it. Right? I'm talking about all of us, right? I know I'm not perfect. But I can say, when we look at ourselves, a lot of times we have these lack of self-esteems that cause us not to view us the way that God views us. Amen? God views us as special beings, special creatures that he created to have a relationship with. When he looks at you, he sees beauty. Amen? And when I look at me sometimes, I don't see beauty. I'm a big, ugly mug. But he says, it is perfect, and if I keep it, It restores me to its perfection. And I like this, A, because it says the Bible's perfect, faith is perfect, God is perfect, I am not. But when I get exposed to God and I learn about God and I keep God's principles in my life, it brings me to that perfection that He has. Amen? Well, what are the repercussions of perfection? Nothing. Amen, right? Security, love, you know, future. No matter how long it may be, none of us are promised tomorrow. It clearly says that. I mean, for nobody knows who's going to make a home tonight, right? But in this understanding in Psalm 19, he says, if I keep this word, it restores me to its perfection. And I know that through all these challenges, through all these bad mistakes, through all this history of being through the mud, of the mistakes that I even made today, if I could commit to just this word right now and then keep it at the forefront of it, that he will then restore me. Amen? What else in the world do we have access to that restores us? Amen? All the other things that I'm even family, which I love wholeheartedly, nobody question that, drains me. Amen? Right? Yes or no? Yep. Yes or no? The only thing that we're exposed to that restores us is faith, is the word. So it's so important to get in there and make sure that we're reading that word. Acts 4, and there is no salvation in no one else other than the name under the heaven that has been given by men, which we must be saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you shall be saved. For with the heart the man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. There's two parts to this. Amen. When I speak out loud, Jesus is Lord, I am confessing, you know, verbally that I know that he's Lord. It said that when I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. He said when the man believes, results in righteousness. Why? Who else? Somebody said something about all grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. Mick, right? This is just so complicated to understand that there has been nothing that I have ever done that is really worthy of anything. Right? And I'm not saying that to put me down or anybody else down. I just want to make sure that all of the progress and all the success in my life goes to the glory of where it deserves to go. Amen? Like, it's not me that's really successful. It's not me that deserves these positions. It's God that puts me in these positions that allows me the ability to operate. And then when I'm given this authority and I grow, I want to give that back to God. Amen? I want to use these tools to give it back to God so that he can increase me to increase the community, increase me to increase the family, increase me to increase the community, right? It's hand in hand and hand in hand. There is no I in team in this scenario. Amen. It's only the Lord and the faith. But the repercussions of applying that faith and understanding that faith make so many changes. And understanding that just when I go home tonight and I get on my knees and I get on my knees and I shut the door, nobody else around, I said, Holy Father God, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for all the things that you've done in my life. I believe in you wholeheartedly. Amen. Right then and there, I can be justified. Not because I'm a good person, not because I deserve it, not because I should feel bad about 85 things that I've done this week or 85, you know, years, however long I've been alive. But you know what I mean? It's only through Christ's righteousness that I get there and I confess that. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And in the heart the man believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Salvation. You know, it's absolutely true of what he says of salvation. And I'm going to talk about that. And hilarious that Elaine had Revelations 21:4, because that's the text this evening. Thank you, Elaine. It says, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne, behold, I am making all things new. He said, write these words, O faithful and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes to inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, immoral persons, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars, their part will be in the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now I want to go back to verse 7. He who overcomes these things will inherit. Amen. He who overcomes these things will inherit. It doesn't say that it's going to be easy. He never said it was going to be peaches and cream, that is gravy here though on the way out. You know, it's just going to be all good. He said, he who overcomes these things. And that's just the thing. I have to be able to look at what's in front of me and look at my faith and choose my faith every time. I have to, because I'm in the world, right? He said, in the midst of the crooked and perverse generation, be of lights in the world. That's what he said. So I know that you guys are going out there. I know that there's temptations. I know that it's going to be a challenge, but I can be with you. And those of you who overcome those temptations, I will be your God. I will wipe away every tear. There will no longer be any death, any mourning, any crying, any pain, for those things have passed away. Amen? Man, that's powerful. That's God saying, stay with me. Amen? Stay with me, and I will be there for you. That's such a powerful thing to hold on to when I'm looked at these challenges in front of my face that cause me to, you know, to start to sway. Because the pressure builds up. It starts to build. It starts to build. We're threatening random people on the road. You know what I mean? You never know what you're doing. You start to get frustrated. Somebody cuts you off. They're next. You know what I mean? It happens that way, like this. But you live in that faith. You walk in that faith. You stay in that faith. And God promises that he's going to come through. In Levitations 4, Romans 10, 3, and Ezekiel, I tied all these together to make it a little simpler. He says, for everyone who goes astray or is naive, make atonement. Sins unintentionally for not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. And what happens here is when we run off on our own initiatives and we're not staying grounded in the Word and we're using experience rather than faith to make decisions, we become askew. Amen? And I've been around a long time. Mick's been around a long time. But here's the deal. If whatever's coming my way isn't being decided through my faith, through my filter of my faith, then it may be subject. Amen? It has to be grounded through faith. Everything has to be filtered through faith. Everything we do. 2 Timothy says, the inspired word of God is profitable for teaching, reproving, correcting, training in righteousness. It matures and equips us to be ready for every good work. And when you think about the Word, why do I read the Word today? You know, why am I reading the Word? Why am I staying in the Word? Why do I make sure that every day at this specific time I get my 20 minutes? Or every evening at this time I'm going to get one chapter, two chapters, whatever I can commit to. I have to feed that spirit. Man, why? Because this is what it does. When I'm sitting at home all alone reading on my own, when we're all sitting at home alone, we're minding our own business, or in the halfway house around 431 people, but we're blocking them out and we're reading, right? Amen? I've been there. I know what it's like to not be able to see or hear the TV, but you still got to read. And it says, inspired by God, profitable for teaching. How many of us need teaching? Amen. Amen. How many of us need reproving? Amen. I live with me. I know I need reproving. Amen. Is that what about being corrected? How many of us could use some training in righteousness right now? How would we like to mature and become consistent and reliable? Anybody want any of that in our lives? You know, what about being equipped for every ready good deed coming our way? Amen? These are all things that come directly just from spending time in that Word. When we spend time in our Word, we read our Word, we study our Word, we apply our Word, it equips us, it builds us, it teaches us, it corrects us, it grows us. Amen? That's so amazing. It's free. Like, you don't have to pay for this. We'll give you a Bible. You do have to pay. Some Bibles are expensive. But we will give you a Bible. But the Word of God is free. It abides forever. Amen? This is the one thing. Like, we don't have to get up dressed up nice. We don't have to go spend $45 to go out tonight. We go home, put our PJs on, and correct ourselves and grow and be encouraged for free. Amen? Amen. Right? We're not competing. Psalm 119 says, give me insight, make me wiser than my enemies. I'm down for that. right? Make me wiser than my enemies. Let me understand what's going on. Give me discernment to see the path so that when something ain't right coming my way, I want to recognize that right away. Amen. I'm tired of being entangled in this sin in my life and bad decisions and low self-esteem. I'm over all that. Amen? So if it takes me to stay in this Word to get there, I'm willing to do it. It said, the Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What's he saying? I'm surrounded by darkness. Amen? Surrounded by darkness. And David said that the Word is like having a lamp to his feet, a light to his path. And we sit here today and we say, where do I go, Lord? What do I do? But if I'm in that Word, I'm already on it. Amen? Because it's teaching, reproving, correcting, training. If I'm in that Word, I'm already moving in that direction. Amen? I'll be less likely to sit here and be like, what am I supposed to do? Because the Word is the lamp. The Word is the light. The Word is the path. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, both bones and joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and the intention of the heart. You know, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that's just this whole thing is that spiritual weapon. We need to be equipped in the day and age of temptation and frustration. This microwave, I want it now. We're not willing to work for it. You're not paying me enough. This is, you know, this whole crazy land, like the technology, you know how crazy technology is getting today compared to when, you know, my dad or my grandfather was young compared to what's going on right now and the what's going to continue to happen and how fast this temptation and streaming comes into the lives of all of our own children. How quick. Now, I don't want to sound crazy right now. I don't want to freak anybody out, but I'm just going to be real. Amen. I mean, I don't know how many of you guys have witnessed some of the things that you see on the TV these days. And you think to yourself, is this what I want my kid brought up on? Are these the values that I want to instill in my child? You know what I mean? I mean, if I'm as bad as I was, amen, without that, no, how can that really benefit anything? And then technology is getting faster and faster and faster. If I don't have that sword and that shield and that guide of righteousness, if I don't keep this on me, then I'm suspect. Bottom line. Amen. We've got to have that. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's my weapon. So when I'm under temptation, I'm being frustrated, I'm thinking about that verse I read earlier today. Amen? I don't know how many different people that I've counseled. I just had to memorize Psalm 23 because it almost fits with anything that we're going through. It's ye that I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they strengthen me. And David goes on and it was the whole verse. But here's the thing. When we find ourselves in the midst of that very moment of temptation and opposed to striking out or responding to temptation, repeat verses in our mind, we're going to bring light to that situation. Amen? Amen. Right? If that's the very least that I could do. It's the very least that I could do is give God an opportunity to direct me when I need that help. Amen? Because I know what Ben does. Ben takes the left decision, turns it. I mean, that's been a rough road. 753,221 noodle cups. And I ain't got one more. I can't do it. You know what I mean? I mean, best time of my life. Best time of my life. Oh, I can whip a noodle cup up fast. But I'm just saying that I realize that when I make the decision, sometimes I don't make the best decisions. Amen? That's fair, right? I know I've been around a long time, but sometimes I got to filter these. Every decision has to be filtered through that faith so that I don't go back after, you know, whatever the next noodle cup's going to be. Or if I'm lucky to get noodle cups. A lot of my friends didn't make it. Amen? You know, they're in the ground. And I think about them. John 8:31, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen? What did he say? It's so simple. He said, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Where am I enslaved today? What are my problems today? What's holding me back today? I've got to get in that word. I've got to apply that word to my life, and I've got to let that word set me free. Amen? I've got to believe in that word to chop these chains, these old alliances of sin, the things that I got in the backyard. Nothing can hold me down from my faith. Amen? I don't want any of those tanglements anymore. Amen? Right? Amen. I know that you don't either. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, that you shall be careful of all things that are written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have success." 1 Corinthians 2, the word, "Purposely hidden mystery of the world that's passing away, but reveals to us the truth of the Holy Spirit, because we believe in Him, love Him, things which the eye cannot see or the ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of men, all that God has prepared that love Him." Ephesians, "Cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word." It's just so important for us to understand how beneficial it is to stay in this Word. This is why we meet. This is why we're here. This is what we're doing. Amen? So there's really no question today as to why I'm saying, what am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about that? I got to start putting myself some distance between those things and start spending more time with the Word, having a little more faith that God's going to hammer those things out by directing me in the direction I need to go. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
All right, I got a prayer for us. Let's pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So this is the prayer for the message. It says, "Oh Lord, open my eyes to see your truth, my ears to hear your truth. Open my heart to receive by faith. Renew my mind and keep it in hope. Surrender my will that I may live with love. Remind me that I am responsible when I hear it. Help me desire to obey what you say through it. Transform my life that I may know it. Burden my heart that I may share it. And transform my life that I may keep it. Speak now, O Lord, and give passion to know that I will follow your will. Nothing more, nothing less. In Jesus' name, amen."
Amen.
All right.